This week, we're starting a new series in the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes is in the Old Testament. If you're trying to find it, it's Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, okay? So right after Proverbs, you should find Ecclesiastes. It is a book that is not very, shall we say, positive. He doesn't have a whole lot of good stuff to say about life and the pursuit of life. And so today we're gonna start talking about Ecclesiastes, and we're gonna look at chapter 1, most of chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and we're gonna talk about what it means to live a life that, if we don't live it in the right way, it is totally futile. It is. We live it in vain. We live it without any reason. So, the book of Ecclesiastes is a book that is very philosophical. And before your eyes glaze over and you check out on me, you're like, "Oh, philosophy! I made sure I didn't take that class in college." Or these people who are philosophers, they talk in crazy, you know, words, and they have all they just sit around and think. We are all philosophers. Everyone has a philosophy, and our philosophies, different things direct our lives. So we have a philosophy when it comes to politics. Your philosophy may be, you know, what they call conservative, wouldn't be progressive, liberal, whatever terminology you want to use. We kind of fall in these tribes, in these camps, and our philosophy is part of that. So how we see politics, we have a philosophy of that. We have a philosophy of what is right and wrong, and we have a philosophy if there's a God or there's not a God. And so we all are philosophers in a sense, in that we all have a philosophy and we live out of philosophy. We just may not be guys and girls who sit down and write out philosophies, right? Okay? So this book is going to present a certain philosophy or a perspective on life, and is going to kind of give us the answer. Really, it's at the end, but I'm gonna skip or I'm gonna stop. I'm not gonna wait to the end to give you the answer. We're gonna have it today, and we're gonna kind of remind you of it through the book. But it also presents what we call the worldview. Now, you may say, again, philosophy, who cares about that? A worldview is how we understand our world, how we interact with our world. It's been described this way. It's like putting on colored glasses. Everybody's probably put on some glasses before that had some kind of color, whether it's a rose color or a lot of times we put on those yellow glasses, you know, supposed to make everything clearer. At least that's what they tell us on the TV show or on the commercials, where, you know, you put this on, you're going to be able to see everything great and nothing's going to glare, yada, yada, yada. But you put it on and it has this kind of yellow tint. And a worldview is kind of like that. It's how we perceive the world. It's these glasses that we wear, and it's how we perceive everything. And again, it's different parts of life. We have a worldview when it comes to how we understand what's right and wrong, how we understand whether there's a God or not. We have a worldview when it comes to how we interact with people. We have a worldview when it comes to politics. All these different things, our worldview is how we interact and how we perceive things and what we believe about everything around us. Now, you've probably not sat down and thought out your worldview, but you live out your worldview in everyday life. And so the teacher, is what he's called here, is going to present a worldview. And it's amazing that when he writes this thousands or hundreds and hundreds of years ago, even thousands of years ago, he presents a worldview that is very much the same worldview that a lot of people hold today. He's going to present a worldview that says that, you know what, it's all about accumulation. It's all about materialism. It's all about what we call hedonism. Hedonism is the pursuit of just fun. And so we go out and we pursue our pleasure, rather, not fun, pleasure. We pursue pleasure. Different things give us pleasure. And so we pursue those things, whether it's a relationship or sex or drugs or whatever. We pursue pleasure. Sometimes it's material things. The more I can get, the more stuff I can accumulate, the more pleasure I will have. And so that is what our modern society is pursuing. And you think about it, that's something that a lot of people want nowadays, especially Americans in our society. We want pleasure, we want stuff, we accumulate stuff. One of the big businesses in the world is storage units, where we have so much stuff that we can't fit it in our house, so we go put it somewhere else under lock and key. And so we accumulate stuff. A lot of times we have so much stuff we don't even know we have that stuff. You ever been digging in a drawer? It's like, oh, didn't know I had that. Or I forgot I bought that. We just got so much stuff, and we want more and more and more stuff. We have this mad quest for knowledge. We want to know more. We want to have the more knowledge. We have this quest for wealth. Give me more and more and more money. We have a quest for pleasure. We have a quest for work. Some people just can't work enough. Some people, you know, they want fame. You know, they want their 15 minutes of fame on TikTok or whatever. I want 1,000 subscribers. I want people to follow me on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram and all these different things. People want fame. They want to be known. And other just pursue sex. Just Gimme. Look at so much stuff, and we are just consumed with all of these things in our culture, in our society. And this is what we call secular humanism. That's a term that's used about it. Secular meaning nothing to do with God, and humanism saying it's all about me. It's all about the person. And a lot of secular humanists, most secular humanists, are what we call atheists. They will say there is no God. That Christians are wrong, Jews are wrong, Islam is wrong. There's no such thing as a higher power. There's nothing of that. There's no spirituality. What we have is this. The life we live is all we've got. There's lots of atheists out there that have become really vocal, and you know, they're going after God in different areas and different modes of life. And they say, this is all there is. This talk of God is foolish. Life is it. And the thing is, if this life we live, when we are born and when we die, there's nothing afterwards. If this life, these few years we have on earth, if that's all it is, what a sorry life we have. What a sorry existence we have. That's why we, so many of humanity, are looking for purpose. Why am I here, may be the question. What am I on earth for? And the theme of the book of Ecclesiastes is all about futility. It's all futile. If we have that mindset, if we have that view of secular humanism and atheism and just give me more, if that is our life's philosophy, our life's goal, then man, this life is futile. He even said it's vanity of vanities. It's you can't get any more vain, the way they say it. The main question that we're kind of asking in this book is, what does a man gain for all his efforts that he labors at under the sun? What is the purpose? What do you gain? What do you profit for everything you work for? All of your efforts. Is there any gain? Is there any profit for things under the sun? Now, this word, this phrase under the sun comes up over and over again in the book of Ecclesiastes. And basically what he's saying is under the sun is this idea of just everyday life. This life on earth, this life that we pursue, this life apart from God, if we can separate it. Is there any real profit? Is there any real gain to life? Like I mentioned earlier, Americans fall into this category. We have this same philosophy. What we've been taught since we were young about the American dream. The American dream is a national belief that anyone, regardless of who you are, your background, your circumstances, where you were born into, what race you are, whatever, that no matter where you are, no matter who you are, regardless of what circumstances you come from, you can achieve success. That you can have prosperity. That you can have upward mobility through just hard work, determination, and initiative. That no matter where you come from, no matter what it is, if you work hard enough, you can prosper. And as Americans, we want more, more, more. Bigger, bigger, bigger. The question we need to think about as Christians is, are we immune to this trap of seeking more and more and more under the sun? Do you live your life like a secular humanist? You may say, oh, I believe in God. I'm at church today. Of course I believe in God. But really think about how much is God involved in your life? Is God the main thing or the main person that you pursue? Is wanting to know Him more, is wanting to live a life pleasing to Him, is wanting to tell others about Him and grow His kingdom and His family. Is that what drives you? Or are you like every other American who says, just give me more, more, more. I'm going to try hard. If I just learn more, if I try hard, if I have initiative, I can make more money and I can get a bigger house and I can get more, 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 more. Thousands of years ago, a man who calls himself the teacher sits down and tells us, if that's your priority, your life is lived in vain. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 1, 1 through 11. It says, the words of the teacher, the son of David, King of Jerusalem. Now, a lot of people assume that this is Solomon. They say, well, he's the smart guy. You know, he's the wisest man to ever live. And he was the king, and he was the son of David. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was somebody from generations later who was in the line of David. They would still consider themselves a son of David, who was a king. Nevertheless, that doesn't matter. But he calls himself the teacher, or in Hebrew, Koheleth. You can use that in a conversation this week. Talk about Koheleth, who is the teacher or the preacher. Verse 2 says this, absolute futility. Yours may say vanity of vanities. Absolute futility, says the teacher. Absolute futility. Everything is futile. Boy, isn't that a way to start? What does a man gain for all his efforts that he labors at under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets, panting, and it returns to its place where it rises. Gusting to the south, turning to the north, turning goes the wind, and the wind returns in its cycles. All the streams flow to the sea, yet the sea is never full. The streams are flowing to the place, and they flow there again. All things are wearisome. Man is unable to speak. The eye is not satisfied by seeing, or the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be. And what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Can one say about anything, look, this is new? It has already existed in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of those who came after, or came before rather, and of those who will come after. There will be also no remembrance by those who follow them. Futile, futile, futile. Vanity, vanity, vanity. Wow. Isn't this encouraging? I want to talk this morning about if you live a life of what Americans pursue, what society, the Western world pursues, just give me more, give me pleasure, give me, give me, give me. And if all we do is pursue life and happiness under the sun during this world, and we live like there's no God, and we live like there's nothing after we die, everything amounts to nothing. You have no purpose. Your only purpose is just to make more babies so that they can make more babies and live in the same vanity that you lived in. You work for what? So you can eat? So what is the verdict of life? The teacher, who is, like I said, someone in the line of David, possibly Solomon, gives us this question. The first thing I want us to see is the verdict of life. Again, he says, under the sun, and it acts like a qualifier. It is the human life apart from God. And apart from God, people gain nothing from all they're told. If you live a life apart from God, you have no gain in life. It doesn't mean you don't have needs, man. It doesn't mean that there are certain things that you will not enjoy. There you may come away with certain happiness and certain pleasures, and you may come away with your stomach full. But is there really anything when you're gone? Is there anything left? Israel is placed, if you can think about it on a map, Israel is placed at a crossroads. To the southwest of it is the nation or the kingdom of Egypt. And then further north of it and to the east of it is Syria and what was Persia, Mesopotamia. These places were very prosperous. And they wanted to trade with one another. They wanted to have commerce with one another. And the way you get from Mesopotamia or Syria and Persia down to Egypt and from Egypt up there was you traveled through the land of Israel. So God has his people at a crossroads. And these people had the opportunity because of this trade to become very rich. Fortunes could be made overnight, but they could also be lost just as quick. And so here the teacher is going to tell us that this is all in vain, that it's all futile. If you live your life so that you can become rich, so that you can just be happy, it is all vain. It's all futile. He says it's like a breath. Or it's like vapor. I know it's been a while since we've had a cold morning, but once again, one day, hopefully, it will be cold in the morning, and you can go out and you will breathe, and this you can see your breath, right? You see the vapor, you see the cloud coming through you, or coming from you, and it just comes and it's gone. It doesn't stay, right? You breathe out and it comes out and then it's gone. And he says, that's what life's like. Life is like breathing out on a cold morning where you have a beginning, you have an end, and then it's gone. It's there 1 second and gone the next. Psalm 39 verse 5 says, you indeed have made my days short in length, and my span has nothing in your sight. Every mortal man is only a vapor. James 4:14 says, you don't even know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be, for you are all like smoke that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Our life comes and goes rather quickly. The life, the older we get, the faster life seems to go. Right? When I remember as a kid going to school and thinking, man, this school year will never end. And it took forever for the year to go by. It took forever to get past whatever grade I was in. And the older I got, the faster things became. And now it seems like just yesterday was Christmas and tomorrow is September 1st. We're already past half of the year. And life is screaming by. I can only imagine when I get older how fast life will be. And life is like a breath. Life is like a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. But there's another thing. You ever tried to grab your breath? Ever tried to grab vapor and hold on to it? There's nothing there to hold on to. Life is fast and there's nothing to hold on to. Is it pointless? And that's what the teacher's asking. Is life pointless? If you have this view of life that it's all about my pleasure, it's all about getting wealthy, it's all about getting more, 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 it's all about my happiness, in the end, there is nothing to life. There is no purpose. I mentioned earlier, atheists have this belief that we are part of just nature, we are an accident like everything else, that we are born and that when we die, it's just nothing. You don't remember anything before your birth, you won't remember anything after your birth, and there's just the few years you have here. If that's the case, what is our purpose? If that's the case, then why are we here? And so the teacher concludes that it's all in vain, that it's all futile. Everything in life is short-lived and it lacks real substance. Think about the stuff that you've accumulated. Think about the stuff that we have, our cars. Like, man, I got a new car. But you know what? One day that car is going to end up crushed with a bunch of other crushed cars. Think about the houses that you live in. One day they're going to be torn down or they're going to burn down or something's going to happen and it is going to be gone. The clothes you wear, you will either give it away or it's going to rot. What's the point of it all? And so the teacher's going to look at it from different angles. And so the question is, what do we gain from life with all our work? What do people gain from toil under the sun? What do we gain if our view is this? And his answer is nothing. Absolutely nothing is gained. To gain something means you have to have something left over. Right? like a prophet. He says, what does it profit a man? What do you have left over? And he says, there's nothing. What do you profit from your work? When you're dead and gone, what profit do you take with you? Nothing. So in verses 4 through 7, he's going to look at these different angles. He's going to give us these different examples of how nothing really changes. And again, he's talking about life day to day that we live. First, he says, generations come and go. That children are born and children die, and old men die. Then we have more children and then they die. Generations come and go, but the earth remains the same. Nothing changes. Life is short. One generation is going to replace another. Nothing ever changes. The second thing he says, well, what about the earth? You know, the sun rises in the east and it goes down in the west. And then the next morning, there's the sun again in the east. And it will end up in the west. Day after day after day. Does anything change? Does the sun ever say, I think I'm going to come up in the north today? No. The sun always comes up in the east, always goes down in the west. It has its cycle. Nothing changes and nothing is gained. What about the wind? The wind doesn't always come in the same direction. He says, no, it comes and it goes and it turns, but in the end, it all just has its cycles, right? During our summers, we tend to have winds from the south, and during the winters, there tends to be wind from the north. And so sometimes weather comes from the west, from the east, but most of the time, our weather comes from the west and comes across us. There's these cycles of the wind. Does anything change? Does anything ever gained? No. Nothing changes and nothing is gained. He says, well, what about water? You look at a river, you look at a stream, and that stream's always flowing, continually flowing, and it always flows to the sea. But the sea is never full. The sea never fills up. And that water keeps running to the sea. It never fills up. Is there anything changing? Is anything gained? No, nothing changes. Nothing is gained. The world is constantly moving, but is it purposeful? Is there anything gained? And he says, no. Everything just comes in cycles. What happens today will happen tomorrow. What happens in this generation will eventually happen another. And you say, well, you know, life changes. Things change. Really? You think about fashion. Fashion just moves in cycles. If you don't like what you're wearing, what's being sold today, keep what you got because it's coming back. Right? It just comes in cycles and people think, oh, look, I've invented a new style. No, you didn't. You just pull back something that we used to wear. Life has these cycles. And the teacher says, all of our work, all of our toil is just like a hamster on a wheel. We keep running, but we're going nowhere. Nothing is gained. Progress is just a mirage. Everything stays the same. And if the earth and if the sun and if the wind and if the water, all of these things don't change and nothing is ever gained, has humanity ever gained anything from its toil? In verses 8 and 9, they kind of sum it up. They say, we can't talk enough. There's always more to say. You can't see enough. There's always something else to see. And you can't hear enough. There's always something else to hear. You can't fill it up. The eye cannot see enough. The ear cannot be filled. And everything is just more, 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 and nothing is new. You may say, well, what about a new baby? What about some new technology? What about some new art? All of this just replaces the last thing. Whether it's one generation replacing another, whether it's some technology replacing a different one, whether it's some art that replaces some other. Everything comes and goes, and life just keeps ticking. And sadly, many of us live life that way. We live life just to pursue happiness. We live life to pursue pleasure. We live life to pursue materialism. We live life as if there's no God, and that there's nothing that comes after death, and there's nothing that we can leave behind. And in the end, if we live that way, it ends up in just misery. Because we can never be satisfied. Oh, we can be happy for a little while, but we always want more. And at the end of life, we look back and we say, what was it all for? What did I gain? The answer is this. We need to pursue what will last. What is going to last? What is going to matter? What is going to be gained? We have a short memory. He says, a generation comes and a generation goes. In the last 6,000 years, I asked the internet, we know it's always right, but I asked the internet, I said, how many people have lived in the last 6,000 years? Estimate for me. And it came back with this estimation of between 100 and 110 billion people. Now, we can't really wrap our minds around a billion, how much a billion is. We really don't understand what a million is because we're all, you know, we see those terms, but we can't really grasp them. We see a billion, but, you know, we only see that when it comes to how many people there are or how much money in a system there is. The concept of us having $1 billion may be a pipe dream or is a pipe dream, but we really don't understand what $1 billion can give you. It's a huge amount. A billion is 1,000 million. Think of it that way. 1,000 million. And he says, well, the internet, of course, is always right again, says between 100 and 110 billion people have lived in the last 6,000 years. How many of them can you name? I was thinking about this last night or earlier in the week. How many can you name? And I'm reading a book about Roman history. Because I'm a history nerd, I like that stuff. And it's called Rubicon. It's written by a secular writer. He's just kind of telling the end of the fall of the Roman Republic. And in it, he's going through these names, and I recognize some of them. Like, there's probably some names that you would recognize, like Caesar. You've heard of Julius Caesar, probably, right? Or maybe a guy named Cicero, or Crassus, or Brutus. I mean, you've may have heard those names here or there in school. Or maybe we know names like, you know, Abraham Lincoln or George Washington or whatnot. You know, we know certain names. And like historians, you know, history buffs, they may know a few hundred names. But that's nothing compared to 100 billion people. How many of you know the name of your great-grandparents? And if you know the name of your great-grandparents, how many of you know anything that are really about them? Most of us don't know anything about our great-grandparents. They come and they go. We name mountains after people. We name buildings after people. We have landmarks named after people. But in reality, in a generation or two, they're going to come along and they're going to rename it. Our memory is short.
So what's the point of life? What's the point of work? Jesus tells us this in Matthew chapter 16. He says, what will benefit a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses his life? Or what will a man give in exchange for his life? And what Jesus is pointing us to, and what really the teacher is going to be pointing us to eventually, is that life is pointless without God. That life is pointless without pursuing God. Life is pointless. You gain nothing if you have no relationship with God. You live life, you accumulate stuff, and it all goes away. It rots, it goes away, your kids fight over it, they will throw it away. The stuff you saved, you know, it's so precious to you, when you die, your kids are going to come in and just throw it away. Stuff comes, stuff goes. Are atheists right? Is this life all there is? If so, it ends in nothing. Materialism is just a dead end. That pleasure seeking leaves us just seeking more. They say money can't buy you happiness. It can buy you stuff that makes you happy, but eventually that stuff you bought doesn't make you happy anymore, and you have to buy more stuff. And you realize that your stuff can't really bring you joy. Pleasure seeking leaves you seeking more. So what the teacher is telling us, what the writer of Ecclesiastes is telling us, is that life apart from God is futile. It is vain. It is worthless. Look beyond the big sun out there. And all the toil, all the work we do, and look to the Son of God. What are you pursuing? What are you chasing? What are you running after? Are you pursuing pleasure? Are you a hedonist? Are you just searching for something that's going to make you happy? Or are you going to search for God? In the end, the hedonists may find stuff that gives them temporary pleasure, but they gain nothing. In the end, they lose it all. But if you pursue God, pursue relationship with Him, pursue to know Him, pursue His Word, pursue to live in according to the way He calls us to live, life may not be as pleasurable, won't have as much stuff, but what we gain is eternity with Him. What we find out is the atheist is wrong. That there is something after death. Our spirit continues to live on. And if we live as if God is real and is His servants, when death comes, we get to live with Him still. Chris plays, when you think about that, think, what are you pursuing? What is it in your life that you are seeking after? And if you never sought after a relationship with Him, I invite you to do so today. If you want to do that, I'd love to talk to you about it. Some of us need to shift our priorities from working to get stuff, working to bring us pleasure, working to get us more. To focusing on our relationship with God and getting more and more and more from Him. Relationship from Him. Not stuff from Him, but relationship from Him. As Chris plays, will you seek the Father? Father, I pray that we would take the words of the teacher to heart, that we would realize that life apart from You leaves us with nothing. It's all vain. It's all futile. But a life in pursuit of you is what brings us peace, what brings us joy, brings us fulfillment. May you be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.